Wagwan people, they are in it. No, I'm joking. Okay.
They are. What's going on, people? You're locked into the Point Podcast. Welcome to the show.
People, welcome back to The Point, episode 6, whoop, 26, whoop. In the building.
Sorry.
As you can tell, we have a excited guest in the building today. Yes. Obviously, your boy, Afo,
Mike, come on,
and Enoch. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Hello.
Hello, hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine, yeah. I'm great.
What's your name? Tell us your name.
My name is Maureen Kishiro, and I am the founder of Kesh Kitchen.
So we have our special guest, Maureen Kishiro, in the building today.
Yes.
And we are going to be talking about the pursuit of passion.
Mm. Hey.
So don't be getting ideas, you know. It's not like it's passion. Passion as in what you want to do.
It's deep.
It's very, very, very deep topic. So yeah, let's just jump straight into it.
Guys, I'm nervous.
Are you nervous?
Yeah.
Don't be.
Don't be.
You don't like to talk about yourself. You on the wrong show, girl.
Better get up out of here.
All right. Let's go.
Well, okay. Let's start it off light. So, okay. Maureen, tell us a bit about yourself. Like, who are you?
What's your identity?
What's your identity?
Yeah.
That's so deep.
Is that too deep?
Yes. Okay.
How was your week, Maureen?
Perfect. My week was good.
Yeah.
It started off a bit quiet, but then towards the end, as it usually does, it got quite busy.
Okay.
Because I do this thing where I say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I leave everything to like the last 2 days, and then I'm staying up till 3 a.m, getting things done. But you know, that's just the life.
I hear that.
Creative life.
The entrepreneurial.
No, it's true.
But yeah, it is clockwork. So, it's been good. It's been a good week.
That's good. There's a phrase. Sorry, what you just said about I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a phrase by Nike, and it says, "Yesterday you said you'll do it. Tomorrow, just do it." It's deep.
Come on.
If you can see, Afo's wearing a Just Do It t-shirt.
Afolabi just stood up and pointed at his Just Do It.
No, it's right. True, you should just do it. It's true. Like, it's just...
Procrastination.
And it's the devil. It's the demon. It really is. And for someone like me, I'm quite a lazy person, which is probably weird for someone who's trying to start something of their own to say. But... you do have to psych yourself up to do everything that you need to get done. Like, I'll write a my to-do list. At first, it'll take me like half an hour to write my to-do list. And then in the middle of writing my to-do list, I'll just think of something else that I need to do, go off and start doing it. And then I've just gone on a tangent and just completely forgot my to-do list.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, it's just about organizing yourself.
So how do you go about organizing yourself?
Like I said, trying to do my to-do list. Whether it helps or not, I don't know. But, you know, that's just what I do to make myself think it's working. Using a calendar. So whether it's phone, the one on your phone. I need to get a diary, actually, because I'm...
Because
I'm more of a visual person. So, like, it's annoying having to just go on my iPhone, looking on my calendar just to see some dots. All I can see is dots on my calendar saying I've got something. But I just need to... I just need a diary where I'm actually flicking through. Okay, today, Monday, I need to do this. Yeah. Or I need to get this done for X, Y, Z. So, yeah. How else do I keep organized? I don't know.
Diaries are important.
Yeah.
Diaries are important. I used to think, like, diaries were such an old-fashioned thing. But like you said, when you're actually doing your own thing and you're trying to pursue something, you need to know where you are. Do you know how many times I've double booked myself? Like, I'm the king of double booking myself.
I can imagine.
Honestly, it's peak. Like, people are like, Michael, you know you're supposed to, what happened to this thing? You're supposed to be at this event. And I'm like,
yeah.
Sorry.
Me, it's when I find out and, okay. When it comes to money, when someone's paying you to do something and you double book yourself, that's when, because I've done gigs where I've said yes to something and then, someone goes, oh yeah, Enoch, so yeah, remember on the 18th, we're going to do this. And I'm just like,
is that a favor or is it work?
Was that like just, well, for me, like work, because I gig and stuff, get money for it. So They're like, yeah, yeah, so the 18th, yeah. And I'm just like, oh, I thought you said the 19th. They're like, no, 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 I'm sure I said the 18th. So I'll go through the emails, check it's the 18th, but I didn't write it down properly or I didn't read it properly or whatever.
Ooh, boy,
and then it's that,
that
awkward
money.
Moment of being like, telling someone else that is also paying, saying, ah, I can't actually do it because I already said yes to this one. It's that kind of thing where you either choose what one you're going to do. And you know, once you let someone down, they're more likely not to hire you again.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
step
for
it
me,
up,
yeah.
Enoch. Come
me,
on.
Come
really,
on, mate.
I've really
it's because he's talented, man. That's why.
Sorry.
Because he's talented, just be turning people down. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, I've only done that like three times, I think. Three, four times maybe. And it's bad. It's not good. It's not good, boy. But yeah.
Because they're dependent on you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're dependent on you, sir. Especially keys. You can't just hide. Any instrument, to be honest.
Mm.
Anything. You can't really just hide the fact that, oh yeah, we don't have this person or whatever. Yeah. So.
At least it's paid.
Yeah, it's paid. At least, yeah, that's the thing. So it's one of them
don't
ones.
Get me started.
It's one of them ones, obviously, like which one's paying you more, which one are you going to benefit from yourself? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, those
of
things.
Course.
But then with organizing yourself and diaries and stuff like that, it's important to rest as well.
Very.
Like, you can get into a place where you're like, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to, and you're doing so many different things at once that you don't actually rest. Mm. And that's what I think.
Money don't sleep, B.
Money don't sleep, B.
Sorry.
Money, true. Money don't sleep.
You don't want, you don't want that receding hairline. Come looking like a football player, left back. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You know what that.
Left back, you know.
There's no time to rest.
You need to sleep.
I do sleep. But I sleep and I wake. But the thing is, I start my day late. So that's just the way I work. Like, okay. I'm not a morning person. If anyone who knows me, I am the worst morning person ever. Mm. So I would rather start working at like 5 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. Bravo,
which is when people are, you know, probably finish
5 o'clock
from work.
In the evening.
Yeah.
Wow, wow.
And then just work through till the night and early morning. Even though I'll probably be like, I just want to sit down and sleep. That's just when my brain is most alert. I don't know why. I've just always been that way. I just can't wake. I mean, I'll be up from, you know, 9, 10, but I'll just be doing like boring admin stuff. Just not chilling, but just not actually baking or cooking or anything. I can't do that till my brain is fully like switched on, which is late afternoon. That's just how I work. That's just me.
It's true.
I hear that.
That time my brain switches on as well.
Yeah.
I can get stuff done now. Like I'm gonna do this.
I've always been that way. Like in uni I did all nights. I'd go to the library at like 6 in the evening and be there till morning. I can't do like early morning library. Ooh, no.
I can only work in the afternoon, you know, like if it comes to reading. That's why sometimes I wish I was just getting paid not to work, like, and not work, because I can only concentrate like during the afternoon. We'll talk like so for like lunchtime till like 6 in the evening. Then my brain is dead. And I'm like, I don't want to do anymore. Mm. I won't do anything, and then I'll procrastinate. And then you know them ones when you get to the exam, you start swearing like, did I read that?
That's what I'm saying.
Did I read
that? And you know what? When you think about 9 to 5s, like in the morning, I'm not productive. In the afternoon, it's so funny that you say you work better in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm productive from the hours of 9 to maybe 1
in the morning.
Like 9 in the morning to 1 afternoon. But thereafter, I'm just
that's because
like,
you've had lunch.
I've had lunch, I don't do this
like lunch.
Let me quickly digress here. So I normally have breakfast at lunch. I normally have breakfast at work. So sometimes I have like my Jordan County crisp. Yeah, best cereal in the world.
The strawberry one.
Best cereal in the world. So me, the bowls are small in comparison to what I eat. Okay, so I fill up the bowl right to the top, and you know, and then I put my milk after. And then some guys will come up to me.
That's a lot of food, ain't it?
That's a lot of food. And then what I want to say, I'm like. You ain't seen my bowls at home, have you?
You think this is annoying.
I'm thinking,
who asked you?
Taste. I eat to be full.
Oh my God.
So what did you used to do before you started your own, you know, business and...
Okay, so I was working for an education... What's the word? Education solutions company. That's it. So I don't really want out them. I don't want to say their name in case they're listening and I say something bad about them. But yeah, so it wasn't really what I wanted to do or anything. I mean, the job itself, well, the mission of the company, it was interesting because I'd never heard of whatever they did before. So basically what they do is they provide technology solutions for universities. And so like all if in uni, all your databases, emails, all those things, like we provided the systems for that. And not we, but you know, they. Yeah. So, and also they recruited international students for certain universities. So it was like service and technology at the same time. Oh, okay. So, you know, it was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And things were happening at the same time. So I think that was when fees had just increased. So, you know, it was quite an interesting time to join them because obviously that changed the dynamics of how vice chancellors, you know, their approach to recruiting students and, you know, so it was quite an interesting, oh, okay, so policies really affect their business and stuff. So anyway, I got that job. I'd say I was on a holiday at the time when I actually got the confirmation. I think it was about a month or two after graduation.
Okay.
So yeah, after uni was done. So obviously, like, before uni was done, I was trying to, you know, apply to any and everywhere because I was like, okay, I don't want to be stuck at home in September with no job and just an overdraft. Mm. So, you know, it wasn't originally what I wanted to do. I originally wanted to work for film companies, but that was just really hard. I tried everything, but I just couldn't get a job there.
Film companies?
Yeah, so like Universal, Warner Brothers. Yeah, because okay. I'm really into films.
We'll speak about the 17th.
Huh?
In a minute.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, so yeah, that's what I did straight after uni in central London. And I did that for about 11 months, 10 months. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Ah.
So what was the work? What did the work entail? Like, what stuff did you have to do on the day to day?
Oh, God. So at first, it was quite interesting because it was like a new experience. I'm sure, like, for those who remember what it was like when they first got their first jobs after uni. So it was like a sales job at first. So it was weird because, okay, so I started with another girl. So we were like the two new associates. Mm. And one of us was going to stay in sales and the other one was going to go into current businesses, so client services. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was one who got moved into client services. So that was more about, you know, keeping your clients happy and, you know, yeah, just upselling, all those things, you know, seeing what you could do to add to the service and all that. So it was cool, you know, it was basically just that, you know, I can't really describe what it was like. It was just very just mundane, monotonous.
Clients calling all the time.
Yeah, so if they've got an issue and my manager wasn't there, because my manager, he was in charge of renewing the accounts.
Okay.
So that was kind of something that we focused on. So when it was time for universities to renew their contracts, we, you know, try and get in touch with them, see how, you know, they were feeling with the products or the services, you know, book meetings so we can discuss, okay, what can we change about contracts, or do you just want to renew straight away? Mm-hmm. So I was helping to sort all of that out. Mm-hmm. So, and also when we had our client conferences as well, that was kind of like a big deal. So, you know, getting them to come to the conferences. So that was basically it.
That was the role.
Yeah. So admin stuff, sorting out contracts, upselling, and just, you know, account management, basically. Okay. Yeah. To sum it up.
And what was the environment like? Like going in there every day?
It was actually, it wasn't like overly corporate. It was actually quite chilled.
Okay.
Like I could wear jeans to work.
So like a startup kind of feel.
You worked in Old Street?
Yeah, in Old Street. Yeah. So it was like, you know, so it was like, you know, not Shoreditch, but not, you know, bank or mortgage.
Not Canary Wharf.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll call it Shoreditch.
Huh?
I'd call it Shoreditch. Old Street.
Well, it is Shoreditch, but I mean, it's not like Brick Lane,
right?
But it's not Moorgate, which is, you know, down the road as well. So it's kind of in between. So yeah, it was quite cool. It wasn't like you couldn't like wear it in shorts. Actually, in summer, we could wear shorts. Well, the guys could anyway. So, but yeah, it was cool. Obviously, when you had meetings, you had to wear suits. And in my first like 3 months, they were like, just be smart-ish, you know, don't just come in your, you know, stonewash, you know, Levi's or anything. So yeah, for like the first few months, obviously I just, you know, made an effort, but after that, yeah, I just wore jeans or whatever. So it, you know, it was pretty cool. Everyone was really nice. It wasn't like a huge office or anything. There was only about just over 100, I'd say.
Okay.
So
Okay, so you can know each other.
Yeah, yeah. You basically know everyone in the company, in the UK, in the London branch anyway, because I think, yeah, the head offices are in America. So yeah, in the UK, yeah, you basically know everyone, like the what are they called? Not CEO. MDs.
Yeah.
MDs. So yeah, the MDs, like his office is just right there. You can just, you know, go and talk to him. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Okay.
So everyone's obviously really nice to you. And then, you know, there you get the office politics when they ease you into it. Actually, my first week I got office politics, but you know, it was just, I just overheard the politics. So
I hate that, man.
And you know, there were some really problematic things that I found with the working world that I couldn't deal with. I know it's gonna sound like I'm complaining about what everyone goes through, but I just personally just couldn't deal with it. Just the cultural differences and just the ignorance, like a lot of the ignorance just really got to me. Like I felt like I couldn't be myself at all.
Right.
You know, I was a completely different person at work than I was with my friends. Obviously, I get it. Yes, you have to be professional and be a different person. But it was just on another level.
My like boss says, sup, blood.
Oh, yeah. I remember you said this.
Yeah. He says, sup, blood.
So what does that mean?
You good? I'm like, I'm good.
That's good.
My boss is sick.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But it's like, there was just a lack of understanding and just having to laugh at these stupid dead jokes.
I'm dying.
Just little things like that probably gets me like, nah, man.
You have to take the
pace
out of your voice when you're talking and you're laughing. It's like, I'm like, nah, it's dead, man.
Even little things.
I'm dead.
Like, even little things when I get to when I'm like, hey, morning. I'm like, bro, I don't talk like this.
Oh, you're right there. I do that as well, mate.
You're right there.
I have no idea. I think because when you're actually, I heard that when you speak in a higher tone, people are more likely to see you as a non-threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you go to someone and be like, "Yo, man, what's good?" They're like, "Whoa." Like, yeah. You know what I mean, they're obviously because your lower tone is more bass, is more like deep. It's a lot more scarier. When people get angry, they put a lot of bass in their voice.
Mm.
You know, when people are happy and, you know, excited, then that means they put a higher pitch on their voice.
Yeah.
That's why when we meet new people or when we meet new people or we see people at work, like in a professional setting, we use our higher pitched voice.
Yeah.
I never thought of that, you know.
Until things get real, or like, say, if you know when you get into one of them political arguments, not even arguments, but like you're just like confrontational
serious
things.
Discussion.
Yeah, then that's when your voice kind of lowers.
For me, it was just their attitudes about certain things.
Mm.
And even though it was a relaxed company, it was just the little side comments. That's what I can't deal with. And I hate passive comments. And like, so I would wear braids to work. So obviously, like for girls, hair is like the biggest thing when it comes to being at work because obviously people will always notice when you change your hair. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's normal because we always change our hair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So of course, when I started, I had weave. So, you know, just to ease them in. So, and I think it was long at first and I had short weave. So they could have thought, oh, okay, she cut her hair.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's reasonable. Reasonable logic. And then I think after that, I had braids. Or something, I don't remember. I just remember like going into work and just the, oh, crikey. Oh, well, this is different.
Wow.
Like, I was just, like, some of them were like, oh, your hair's really nice. Like, most of the girls, like the white girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the men, especially like the older managers, oh, wow, it's really strange. It's a lot of hair. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah, okay, we're going to spend a whole week on my hair. Yeah. Like, literally, get over it.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just waiting. Okay, first day, someone make a comment. Okay. Second day, another person makes another comment. Someone who hasn't been in all week, say they come in on Thursday. Oh, wow, your hair. Oh, wow. It's a lot of hair, isn't it? I'm just like, oh, yes, it is. What do you want me to do? Like, okay, we've gotten past that now. Let's move on. It's just so annoying. Things are just meant to be normal and not. He's like, you don't have to comment on every single thing. You don't see me commenting on your highlights in your hair or that you got a haircut. Like, bruv, get over it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But the question is, I got a question. Did you notice my beard?
No.
You didn't notice my beard.
No.
Kiss it now.
I saw it, but have you always had that?
No, I haven't. It's a new thing.
Oh, Yeah. Well done you. You.
Big gang.
Unleash
the powers.
Okay, we're going to take a little break and we're going to drop a tune. It's called Down and it's by Barney. Big ups to Barney for giving us permission to play it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the point.
Yeah, a check. Yeah, London living, we be living up in London. My idea of plotting has been stuck in my mind. I've been flopping, wait, I'm chilling in this lifestyle. Aiming for unattainable things, my mind's wild. Feeling like a psycho, wait. Catch it again, a battle with friends and then protecting me. My ambition never seems to ascend. Believe I have to defend, dreams that I have to mend. Got me feeling like I'm bleeding, this prayer don't ever end. Roughing it, holding something, you loving it. Bluffing it so no one else come up with it. Stuck with it, dreaming about more, praying you end up with it. People asking what's up with it, give me fire like when trouble is wet. I can't lie, the dance creeping in. Little sister asking me whereabouts have you been. Music life ain't the easiest, your heart's in the bin. I suppose that's your start in this thing, all at me.
Down, yeah. I hope you can pull me down.
Difficult when stuff ain't figured out. Speaking in future, hoping no one's in doubt. I'm a shot, let me speak about the mindset of a rapper. Negative energy make me feel like I'm a slacker. That ain't true though. True though, insecure in my views though. Cruise home, singing Barney artists, boy you're too cold. Holy joking, my pride has never been poor. My poems always been potent. I'm spraying bars in the open season. Speaking to you cause you are the reason. Confidence grew in me, so I'm feeling like I'm achieving. Carry on moving me out the darkness when I be sleeping on my dreams. So when I wake, I know that you just be beaming on my life, right? I hope you fat, right? Cause I need you more than ever. Be on my side, right? I need you, that's a matter of fact. The fact of the matter is, I need you on this track, like
down. I hope you can pull me down. Nobody is around. I hope you can pull me down. I hope we evolve into something.
My question is when, okay, when was it that you was like, okay, I know you just said everything contributed to it, but then that one point where you're like, that's it, I'm leaving, or that's it, I'm handing my notice. What was that point? What was that point like? How did you feel? What were you afraid of? And are you still afraid of that now?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'd say it was a gradual thing. So I'd say about 7 months in, I knew I was going to leave. Like, I just knew this is not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to continue to work. But I just, obviously, I had bills to pay. I had things to sort out. So I just thought, just keep going at it. Mm. I think the point where I knew that I was definitely going to, like, yep, yeah, I'm going to speak to my family, speak to people and just say, guys, this is what I plan to do. It was when a few of my friends' department got cut. So, like, there's so many changes within the company. Mm. And so when they got made redundant, that really affected me because, you know, it sounds like I'm taking it deep, but it was like my friends, literally the only people that I could stand speaking to at work would be taken away from me.
The people that make you go in.
Exactly. Because I'm still friends with them today. That's how I know it was real. It wasn't like it was some work friends thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But because it was like, they were the reasons why I could actually just deal with the whole day. So when that happened, and just to see how upset they were, because it was like, wow, their livelihood had been taken away from them, and with so little notice, I just thought this is such a really horrible place to be in. Like going into work, I was anxious every day for about, I'd say, 2 months. I would be on the train on the Northern Line. My heart would be beating so fast because I was so anxious going into work every day. I just hated. In the morning, I would wake up. Like, literally, sleep was my favorite time of the day.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, okay, I'm going to sleep and forget about everything. Yeah. I'd wake up depressed. Not depressed. I don't like to use that word lightly, but I'd wake up really upset, really anxious on the train, thinking, about, okay, what bullshit am I going to face today? Yeah. What's going to be the new thing to change again today? So for about 2 months, I'd say I was very anxious going into work. My manager became very intolerable. He was just so hard to work with at times. Like it was always a back and not even a back and forth, but just that passive aggressiveness where you know someone doesn't like you,
yeah.
And because obviously professionally they have to pretend like they like you, but you know that they don't, and just attitudes changing, and it's just company changing, so many things. So I spoke to my family and they were like, you know, just pray. Just, you know, we'll see. You know, if you're really uncomfortable, then yeah, you can do it. But just keep going as long as you can.
Yeah.
But before that, anyway, my friend had told me about this course thing, this training room course about, I think they do it for personal trainers, but then they started one, a cookery one. So I was speaking to people and they were like, just why don't you actually just go ahead and just start doing something that you actually want to do? And what is it that you actually want to do? So I started to think about it and it's weird. I don't remember a moment where I said, right, okay, I want to be a chef. I don't remember that exact moment. I remember just that feeling of, I need to do this. I need to go and do something that I actually enjoy. You know, I can't keep doing this forever. Like, it's not, the money's not even worth it at this point. Mm. Oh, so it's not like I was even getting paid like loads, but it's not even worth it to me. Yeah, like, I can't get up another day just for this money. Like, money will come and it will go. I just need to do this for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was out of a job. I had been saving. I had money saved up. And then I think my course was booked to start in September. And I finished work early July.
Okay.
So coming up to a year now. So early July 2015. So I had 2 months to just figure my life out, basically.
Yeah.
And see what do I do now? Because I'd never been in that position. I was just, jobless. Half knowing what I wanted to do, half not knowing what I wanted to do. So it was quite a weird stage of my life.
How did you feel during that period of, obviously you had your course booked.
The two months
where you were at home. How did you feel?
At first it was scary because I was really upset because I thought, okay, well, I've wasted a year. Mm. I was like, okay, wait, do I try and find another job, like part-time? Or do I just sit at home and do nothing? Like, it was just, I was basically stuck in limbo and I just didn't know what to do. Like when I first, like my first week at home, I was like, what am I doing? Like my friends are out there, you know, in their jobs, you know, some of them, they really love what they do. I'm just trying to figure my life out. Like I just felt like I was in such a pickle. I don't know. I actually don't, it was such a blur. I stayed with friends who were in kind of similar situations as me. So doing like internships or whatever. So I stayed in touch with friends. I just prepared for my classes. What else did I do? I don't know. It just feels like so long ago. So much has happened from that point until now. Like, it's been such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, a lot of the general feeling was fear, anxiety, just not knowing what the, you know, the next day was going to bring, really.
And just hearing your story, like, it's already, I know we haven't got to the glory part yet, do you know what I mean? But already it's really, really inspirational for me. And I think a lot of people can take away from what you're saying, Maureen, because it's like, it gets to a point where you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I out of fear going to this place every day,
yeah,
won't enjoy it.
Yeah,
and people are telling, obviously people will always lend you advice, you know, okay, keep going, you're learning,
yeah,
you know, it's da, 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 da. But it's like after studying and after putting in work and a hard grind, and
yeah,
you get to a place and you're like, I'm actually only here for money.
Yeah.
Is this it? Is this what life is supposed to be about? Like,
yeah,
where I just come to this place, I hate my job,
yeah,
and I retire, and then that's it. I only, yeah, enjoy my life when I get older.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it's boy.
I do want to say, this is not like, I'm not here to bash people who are, you know, who are working hard in their jobs.
Yep.
It's not, that's not what it's about. Because everyone's journey is different,
yeah,
and that's one thing I'm still growing to realize. That's one thing I had to realize. So it's not about, oh, you're wasting your time and your job, you know, sit down and figure out what you want to do. No, it's your journey is different to my journey. So
do you.
Exactly.
That's it.
I'm motivated by different things. I'm you know, what motivates Michael is different to what motivates me. Like, of course I'm money motivated. I do want to be rich. I do want to be successful. But it's just not at the expense of my mental health and out of my own personal determination to fulfill what I feel like I've been called to do.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick between earning loads of money at a company that I don't care about or grinding to, like, you know, to actually fulfill my own purpose, I would pick the latter all day, every day. So that's not to say that, oh, you shouldn't work hard at your 9 to 5. No, please. It's not easy to jump out of 9 to 5 because when the bills come, when you've got expenses to pay, you will wish you were back in 9 to 5. There's times I wish I was back in 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Like every single day, I'm sure I'm just like, let me just go and find a job. Because like there's so many things you sacrifice. I've had to sacrifice so much.
Right.
I can't even begin to tell you all the sacrifices I had to make. And it's not easy watching your friends do things that you could do, but you can't even do anymore. It's literally so hard. And it sounds like first world problems, but it's a real problem. You know, do you know what I mean? That's the situation still that I'm problem. In. Exactly. It's still a problem. So please, by all means, I'm not here to bash anyone's 9 to 5. You know, do your grind. Like, your 9 to 5 could be your dream. I know people who are doing what they love in their 9 to 5. It's, you know, it's not about that. As long as you're fulfilled and as long as you're making progress in whatever, you know, role that you're in, and you're, even if you're not happy and you don't know what to do, just still keep at it. I've had people come to me saying, oh, I don't like what I'm doing, but I don't know what I want to do. And I'm like, it will come to you. Like, you'll have that moment when you just feel the light bulb will just shine. I can't tell you how to find your purpose or how to find what, you know, I can't do it. I can't define it. It will just drop to you at some point. It might not drop now. It might be 20 years down the line. My auntie, she started making chocolates when she was in her 40s. She's been working all her life, literally getting to her 40s, 50s. She decided at that point, I want to make chocolates. So I can't tell you that it's going to happen, you know, after uni or in the middle of your 9 to 5 or of your grad scheme. No, it's just, it will come to you whenever it comes to you. And it's up to you how you deal with it, really.
It's how you deal with it.
It's so weird when people say to me, oh, you're so brave, or this is really good. I'm just like, I haven't done anything. I am scared every single day. Like, I don't know when money's going to come into my account. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not expecting money at the end of the month like everyone else.
Yeah.
I've got so many things that, like, when you have that fear of, okay, in the next 6 months, I don't know if I'm going to have 0p or minus £10 in my account or I'll be a millionaire. I don't know. Like, it's just so weird when people say these things to me, but it was so hard for me to get to that point. Where actually, like, even till now, I don't think I speak openly about it. Like, you know, I've only just made a Twitter for Cash Kitchen just because I was so afraid of either being judged or people just, you know, thinking, oh, what's she doing?
Yeah,
oh,
well,
that's
she,
not that nice.
She
like,
that
exactly.
Yeah.
And just, it's so crazy just how much fear can really diminish you and really, like, dim your light. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's so hard. It's so important to just break out from that fear. It's not easy at all. And, you know, you learn every day.
It's
and I am, yeah, exactly.
Learning, yeah.
Like, just making that decision to, okay, step out, ask for that favor, ask for that person, you know, put yourself out there, put that Instagram post, or, you know, go and, you know, just be bold or ask for a favor. Like, it's just, yeah, that's just what I had to say. Yeah, I had to get out.
Like how Michael was saying, not say what you're doing, but like, don't hide your gift.
Yeah.
Don't hide your gift. Don't hide your ambition. So we're going to take another break. This time we're bringing you
homegrown music again, but not from either any of us. It's actually from my boy Izzy.
Big ups, Izzy.
Jeez, I used to live across the road from him, you know. But this
that
song,
claim to fame, that claim to fame.
Bread him now, bread him now.
Do you know what I mean? No. Yeah, this song absolutely banged. I love it. Yeah, really proud of him. Video should be out soon. But yeah, promise, Izzy.
Who you gonna call at 6 in the morning, baby? I wanna call you my lady, 'cause you drive me crazy, drive me crazy. Yeah. I promise to love you, baby. I promise to love you, lady. I promise to love you, baby. I'm in love with the idea of loving you. I can stand and I swear, I promise I'ma never hurt you. Tell me that you hear that. Anything you want, baby girl, you gon' wear that. Only when you wear that. I know that I was made for you. Tell me that you hear that. Anything you want, baby girl, you gon' wear that. Only when you wear that. I know that I was made for you. Omo tele mi yo, amalo le mi yo. You are the girl ti mo fe, lati ile. You gonna call at 6 in the morning, baby? I wanna call you my lady, 'cause you drive me crazy. Yeah. I promise to love you, baby. Step into a fantasy, step into a place no one can see, no one can see. Yeah. Step one, step two, baby girl, you know that I really want you, and there's nothing no one can do, no one can come in between us two. Yeah, Jackie Fewole, hey, are you really gonna tell me? Are you gonna call at 6 in the morning, baby? I wanna call you my lady, 'cause you drive me crazy. Yeah. I promise to love you, baby. I promise to love you, lady. I promise to love you, baby. I promise to love you, lady.
Being afraid to don't tell people what you do, who you are, what you want to achieve. I mean, I was telling Michael earlier, and I saw on Twitter someone was like, oh yeah, when I sit in a room, I just like to observe. Some people just say, oh, I'd rather not talk and just listen and work all this stuff
and work in silence.
And yeah, I scheme in silence. Yes, you can scheme in silence, but when there's a time to talk.
Big man,
talk up. Yes.
Someone has the job that you want.
Yeah.
Right now.
Someone has the job.
It. Someone has
want.
The link. Someone is the plug for you.
Someone is looking for you.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Someone is looking for you. Someone, whatever you do, anything you do, someone is looking for you personally. The type of thing that you do, someone is looking for it.
That's it.
Yeah.
But no one's gonna know if you're quiet about it and you're not,
exactly,
you know,
yeah,
and you're not vocal.
Yeah.
There's a proverb that I really love. There's a proverb that I really love, and it's, I gosh, I can't remember which one it is, but it says a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men.
Great men.
I love that verse because it's so true. And it's like, you have a gift. Everybody is gifted. Stop like stifling it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Stop dimming your light.
Yeah. Don't.
I hear that. Don't. You're preaching to me because I feel like I'm quite an introvert. I keep myself to myself. Like most people that know me, I can sit in my room for a week and be fine.
Yes, you do keep yourself to yourself.
I can. I'm so comfortable with my own company. Very comfortable. So trying to do my own marketing and push myself out there is literally one of the hardest things I've had to come to terms with. Like putting myself out there.
It's
been such a mental struggle. And to some people that might be weird because it's like, what's hard in writing a tweet? What's hard in writing a caption for it? It's just for someone who's so protective over themselves, over like what they do and everything. It's just so hard.
It's your baby.
It's literally my baby. And it's like, whoo, the day anyone comes for me or for Kesh Kitchen, bruh. Don't go there. Because I will, listen, fire will rain down.
Hey.
Fire will come down because I'm so... I'm so protective. And it's like, it's been such a struggle to just put myself out there. And it's like it's true what you're saying, like someone out there does want what you do, you know, requires you, they need you.
Someone needs you out there and is going to pay you loads of money.
Yes. And it's not everyone that will support you. I've definitely had to come to terms with that, you know.
100%.
You know, no shade to anyone, you know, I love everyone, you know.
Yeah.
Not everyone can support me the same way, you know, the same level. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's people who I don't know from anywhere that go it's so mind-blowing. It's
weird.
It's so crazy.
I was saying that in the car as well, like on our way, was it on our way back? Mm-hmm. Anyways, on our way back to the house, I was talking about I just put out like tweets about the point, you know. I just thought, you know what, I'm just gonna promote this a lot more because like you, like I don't really like to put myself out there.
Yeah,
like I'm a person, I'm very quiet, very reserved.
Yeah,
I don't like talking to people. Yeah. In fact, I don't even like people.
Trust me. I don't like talking.
I heard that. I don't even like people, but I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put this out here. I'm just going to tweet it and then we'll see what happens. And I started like over the past few weeks, I've just been tweeting a lot more about the point. And then like people that I didn't even tell them to like retweet it or even listen.
Mate. It's so mind blowing.
It's mad.
Like it's even like with you, Afo, it's like, you're like, I can say you, it's not like we've been the closest of friends forever, you know, since school. We went to the same school, but I'm, you know, I'm close to Michael. And it's like, Afro will just randomly support me. And it's like, I haven't even asked him to do anything.
Come on.
And I'm not saying that my other friends don't, but it's like, just doing it so unconditionally and just doing it because you actually believe in what I do. Yeah. And it's like, fair enough, you know, if you have some of your friends who don't believe what you do, fine, cool, you know, that's your opinion. Mm-hmm. But it's just so crazy how the universe just works. And it's just like, you know, the support will come and people who believe in you, they will come in their, you know, in their tens, in their thousands, their hundreds, whatever.
The people
whatever.
That you least expect as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
Will come and support you.
People who you don't even think of. Like people who you think, oh, right, you still remember me.
People that you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember
so don't be afraid to put a price on it. If they can pay, they'll pay. If they can't pay, fine, you can go somewhere else. Cool. I'm not going to bring it down just for
you.
I don't do no favours. I don't do no discount. Sorry. Just putting it out there.
That's the other thing. And people love a freeness. People love a freeness. When you're starting up your own thing, people, give me discount.
That familiarity.
Listen, you're paying the full price to go and see this person or whatever. Like,
when I've made it, when I've made their hair, I can feel like, okay, it's a little.
To be honest, exactly. Yeah.
But, bro, I am hustling for every single pound.
Penny.
I am hustling for every single pound. So please, don't shortchange me. Please, I beg of you.
Do you know what I love? I don't know where I'm coming from these scriptures, but there's another scripture that I really, really like, and it's do not despise humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Like, don't despise it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's. Everyone has to start from somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, even if right now it's like, oh, it's not popping off, or I'm not getting the support from everyone. Look, I'm telling you, you will get the support from those who you need it from.
Yeah.
Most.
There'll be people to help you. Like, I think one thing I've kind of experienced in this journey is that for every little thing, even though, okay, I don't know who's going to help me do this, they have come from wherever to help me, and it's just been so amazing. Like the way the universe, God, whatever, you know, the way it works in your favor, it's just amazing. Like even things with day to day, like I'm not a technophobe, but I hate technology because it just fails me at certain times. And it's just people that I'll just be like, especially people who are doing what I'm doing, like who are like entrepreneurs or just doing their own projects, and like they're just there like every day to just not coach me, just to like give me the encouragement. Okay, just do this. Okay, I know this person, he's done this for me. Let me give him, I'll give him your number so he can do this for you. Like just little things like that. Mm-hmm. It's just the universe will help you. You just have to just trust in it. Just trust in the journey. Trust in the process. Like, and it's so annoying because I hate it when people say that to me. Because when I'm there crying, and trust me, there's been times that I've been crying in my bed because I'm like, where now, like what next, because I'm doing everything, you know, I'm not rich yet, so what is it, you know, I'm there crying. But it's like, trust in the process, like it will come, you know, your journey is like the person popping off there, like that's great for them, that you know it's their time, but when it's your time, it's your time.
So now, Maureen,
yes,
obviously you left work, you started doing your chef course,
yes,
and you've now started your own business,
yes,
Kesh Kitchen.
Yes,
tell us about Kesh Kitchen.
So I officially launched Kesh Kitchen on the 14th of February this year on Valentine's Day.
Zoop.
Damn. Yep. Very randomly. I was just at my friend's house and I thought, I've got the logo now. Let me just drop this right here. All right. So I did a Beyonce. Yep. I did a Beyonce on everyone.
Beyonce.
So, so I guess that's when I officially launched. And, you know, so Kesh Kitchen is a private catering company.
Okay.
Owned. And run by me.
Jeez.
And I mostly, it's weird because people say, oh, so do you prefer cooking or baking? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But I guess you can say baking. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's mostly cakes and cupcakes and desserts. Mm-hmm. And also private catering for small dinner parties. So like if you've got a birthday dinner party for about 6 guests, 8 guests, I can cater to that.
So like a Chef D.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Khalid Chef D. Like.
Chef Moz.
Chef D. Chef Moz.
What we got today?
What we got today?
We got today.
That vegan cake. We got that vegan cake.
Tell us what they don't want us to eat.
They don't want us to eat. They don't want.
So yes, or if you've got a barbecue and you're a bit short staffed, I can help with that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, obviously birthday cakes, anniversary cakes, whatever, graduation cakes, whatever. I got you. That's me. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. So, so I'm still growing, you know, like you said, humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. I'm doing what I can with what I have. Love and I'm getting there. And it's been great. It's been, you know, it's been such a journey. It's been a roller coaster, but, you know, things are happening.
Things are happening.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So I'm very excited about how far I've come and where I'm going and where I am now. You know, it's not easy. It's not always going to be easy, but you know, it's worth it because it's what I love. You know, even when I'm up till, you know, 3 a.m. making flowers by hand and my feet are screaming to sit down, it's still, I know, like, there's nothing else I'd rather be doing, basically. Yeah. You couldn't pay me to be doing anything else at this time.
Love that.
At this time of the night.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. Oh, sorry. Wait, I hope you heard all of that.
Did we catch that?
Yeah? Okay. Cool. So, yeah, like I said, there's nothing I'd rather be doing at that time. So that just shows you how much passion is going into what I'm doing. I'm not doing it just because, oh, you're going to pay me so you can sing your happy birthday around your cake. No, I'm doing this because I love it.
Wow.
It's my passion.
Do what you love.
Yes.
Do what you love. I love that, Maureen.
Yes, and I love what I do.
Hey, and you know what? It ties in very nicely with a quote that I've got from Miss Maya Angelou.
Perfecto.
On career passion.
Okay.
She said, you can only become truly accomplished at something you love. Don't make money your goal. Instead, pursue the things you love doing and then do them so well that people can't take their eyes off of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
My love. Just cook it up. Rest in peace, Maya.
Rest in peace, girl. Because I felt that right there.
I felt that in my spirit.
Yes.
So it's true. And what would you then say, Maureen, to that person who has an idea, has a passion, has something that they really want to pursue. It's on their heart. Like Enoch said, they want to get it out.
Yeah.
But they kind of dimming their own light. What would you say to them?
I would say, first, be sure. Like, you're not, even if you're not 100% sure, be 70% sure that this is what you want to do and go for it. Don't wait for a time. Don't wait for that perfect moment where everything is set up around you, because that time will never come. okay? Don't wait for, okay, if I've stacked up this much and then I've got this, and I've got this, them people to help me with this. No. Like, you'll be wasting around forever. You're just wasting time. That perfect time will never come. So if you feel like, okay, like I guess, because I remember my friend asked me about this as well. She just finished uni and she was like, oh, I really love what you're doing. I want to get into food photography, but I'm not sure. I don't know, like, when did that moment come for you? And it's like, it's just, it will just be in your heart. Like, you know when something's just bubbling in your chest or in your stomach and you just need to get it out? Yeah. That's that feeling. I can't tell you, you know, when to do it, what to do. You will just know in your heart that you just need to do it.
Right.
And yes, there is the fear. Yes, there is the anxiety. But there's just, it will just bug you. That's all I can say. It
will play on your mind.
It will play on your mind. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. I know I'm sounding really spiritual, but that's what it was like for me.
It's true.
That's just the reality of what it was like for me. So for you, it might come in a different way. I don't know. But all I can say is it will bug you till you can't ignore it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you know, okay, this is what I need to do. Mm. So do your research by all means. Stack up your money because you will need that money if you decide not to have paid salary anymore. So you need to pay your bills. So yes, please save up. Mm. Okay. If you've got £10 in your account, maybe wait a bit till you've got a bit more. So because you will need to pay your bills. You need to eat and survive. But it will just bug you till, you know, you can't ignore it anymore. So just, you know, if you're spiritual, pray about it. If you're not, just, you know, speak to people. Think about it. Whatever you need to do.
Think about it.
Think deeply about it. And just, you know, speak to people. Speak to people like me. Speak to people who are doing the same thing that you want to do. So, you know, get encouragement, whatever it is. But just don't ignore it, please. Yes. You know, and just do what you know, enjoy. It's hard. It's harder than it sounds. It really is. And I can't emphasize that enough.
Right.
Okay. Because you are going to sacrifice your holidays, your eating out at nice restaurants, your lunches. Oh, I want to have dinner. No. Okay. That £20 that you spend on
there's
dinner,
rice
you
could.
Yes. There's actually rice at home.
Rice at home.
Even Indomie at home. There's no rice. Okay. Yeah. So there's, you know, yeah, that's all I can say.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Follow us on all our social media platforms: Twitter at The Point Says, Instagram The Point Official, Snapchat The Point Live. Be sure to go on our website, read the blogs, comment, have a good little old chat between yourself and your friends. Yeah, now sit back, relax, and listen to the musical productions of Enoch. It's been The Point, SWTP, straight to The Point, and we're out. Blah!